Chapter 2. The Salters' place was a red brick Victorian nestled on an ocean bluff just north of the yacht club. As Victorian houses went, it was more reserved than most, smaller than the sprawling manses that dotted cities and towns throughout New England and points south. There was one spire, two chimneys, a widow's walk. No gazebo, no wraparound porch, no whimsical paint job, no whimsy at all. It stood solid and restrained as Harlan Salter, the dry goods magnate who had commissioned it in 1888. The Salters still owned the place, but these days most of them split their time between Boston and the vineyard. Mostly it just sat up there on the bluff and reminded paradise of a faded past. There was one light on in a small bedroom on the second floor.
"This place is so freaking creepy and so cool, Ben," said Martina Penworth.
Benjamin Salter made a face. "We only use this place in the summer, and then not always."
"Any ghosts?"
"No, plenty of spiders, though." She slapped his biceps.
"I hate spiders."
"Don't worry, I'll protect you."
"Mmm,"
she said, and stepped closer to him.
"I just bet you will."
She angled her head up to his and planted her lips on Ben's. He returned the favor, and it didn't take long for them to advance beyond kissing. When they came up for air, Ben grabbed the bottle of Pappy Van Winkle and took a swallow.
"Hey," she said, grabbing at the bottle, "what about me?"
Ben smiled, yanking the bottle out of her reach.
"Patience, baby, patience."
He took another swig, but was careful not to swallow. He winked at Martina, pressed his mouth hard against hers. She parted her lips just enough so that the warm amber fluid drained slowly into her mouth from his. When she'd taken it all in and swallowed, she sighed, and her body shuddered involuntarily. Ben reached for the hem of her t-shirt and lifted it over her head. She did the same for him, and she kissed his chest, brushing her hand across his nipples. As Ben fingered the clasp of her bra, Martina pushed him away. She strolled around to the opposite side of the big cherry wood bed and swayed while she unhinged the silvery silken bra. She swung it over her head and threw it at him. He snatched it out of the air, took in her scent, and stared at her pert breasts. Her nipples were red, erect, perfect, and he said so. There wasn't much about Martina Penworth that wasn't perfect. She had that sun-streaked blonde hair other girls spent hundreds to imitate, but could never quite pull off. Her eyes were a shade of deep blue that he hadn't seen before. Her lips, her nose, they were all amazing. Nor did it hurt that Martina had the body of a cheerleader and the brain of a professor. He didn't much care about the latter at the moment. He knew he was lucky to have her. He wasn't bad-looking. He had been with plenty of girls before, but not girls like Martina. That was why he had brought her here. No dorm room beds or cheap Boston motels for her. Just as Martina unbuttoned her jeans and began wriggling out of them, she thought she heard something coming from downstairs. Ben saw the look on her face. "It's an old house and it's storming like crazy. Don't worry about it," he half smiled. "Maybe it's a ghost. Like I said, I'll protect you." That was from spiders. Spiders and ghosts. He walked around to her. He had waited long enough. They fell into bed together. When they were done, she lay with her head on his hairless chest. They were silent. First times, even at their best, come with a certain amount of awkwardness. Besides, wanting and having are two very different things. Then the silence was broken, but not by either Ben or Martina. The bedroom door flew back so hard that the old hinges nearly pulled away from the oak frame. As it was, the brass doorknob had made an oval dent in the plaster and lath. A tall man, dressed in matte black military-style garb, strode into the room. He wore a black balaclava over his head and face. Only his shark eyes and crooked mouth were visible. In his right hand, he held a black sidearm with a sound suppressor extending from the barrel. He turned to face the two nude college freshmen, pointing the tip of the suppressor at them. Martina wanted to scream, but her fear swallowed it up. Instead, she dug her nails into Ben's biceps. He didn't feel it, not even when he bled.
"Look, mister, my parents have a lot of money,"
Ben said, his voice cracking. They'll pay you anything you want. The gunman shook his head. Ben realized this guy might be here for Martina. She was so hot, so perfect. Here she was for him, undressed and vulnerable. Don't even think about touching her, Ben warned. This time his voice was strong and steady. She's not as good as you'd think, he said, because he couldn't think of what else to say. The gunman stifled a little laugh and put his left index finger across his lips to shush the boy. The boy shushed. The gunman waved the tip of the suppressor at Ben, gesturing him away from Martina. When the kid hesitated, the gunman put a round in the wall above the headboard. Ben got out of the bed, shaking. The gunman motioned for Ben to get on his knees at the side of the bed. Ben got on his knees. Don't worry, baby, Ben reassured Martina. He wants me, not you. Isn't that right, mister? You want me. The gunman nodded, stepped close to Ben. Now there was something in the gunman's left hand. Before Ben could figure out what it was, he pressed it to Ben's neck and stunned the kid. Ben Salter collapsed to the floor, his convulsing body thumping against the bare wood. Tears streamed down Martina's face as the gunman turned the tip of the suppressor in her direction. The gun barked twice, and Martina Penworth stopped crying forever.